Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Carrie L., and this is Carrie L.'s Heartling Show. And as I connect to as many hearts as possible, we are creating more freedom, light, and love, one interview at a time. My programs will bring you insights into the great awakening that is underway on planet Earth as we approach 2012. I'll be keeping you abreast of the latest tools available for anchoring a greater and healthier reality into your life. I'll be interviewing leading-edge experts in the metaphysical, scientific, paranormal, and spiritual realms. Stay tuned for the next hour as I speak with Dr. Bruce Lipton, who will be sharing the new science of epigenetics and the power of belief. And I believe his book is called Biology of Belief. So we'll be speaking to him in a moment. But first, I want to mention that you can call in at the bottom of the hour if you'd like. So ask questions. And there are numbers there right on the internet. But first, let me introduce myself. I am Carrie L., and I'm a transformational counselor, coach, and educator. And at the Heartlink Institute, I train others to be counselors and life coaches. So go to my website at www.heartlinkinstitute.com and learn more about my counseling practice and classes. I have classes at the Institute as well as online classes. And you can also purchase the oracle I created called the Crop Circle Cards. And that you can find on my website, heartlinkinstitute.com, as well. Let's just take a deep breath. Whew, boy. And let sacred love flow through you now. And listen to the blessing of the day from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us focus on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds and hearts, and may we awaken as that light. So, good things are coming your way. And I want to introduce my guest, Dr. Bruce Lipton. He's been on the show before, and he is going to share more information about the biology of belief. That is the name of his work, his book. And he has been on many, many shows and TV as well as radio shows. He is an internationally recognized authority in bridging science and spirit. And he has received his PhD degree from the University of Virginia at Charlottesville. And he has been involved as a professor at the Department of Anatomy at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine. Researched muscular dystrophy, studies employing cloned human stem cells, focused on molecular mechanisms controlling cell behavior. And so the list is long, and I'm just going to let Bruce tell you all about it. Welcome, Dr. Lipton. How are you?
Thanks, Carrie. Oh, I'm so glad that we stopped that list, because basically there are more
important
things to
my
talk
eyes were
about.
My eyes were fogging over.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting time for fogging over, because there's an evolution going on. You're talking about 2012 coming, and that is a real event that's going to affect humanity. And while it's very interesting, people talk about 2012 as a transformation moment, a time where human civilization turns a very important corner toward a higher level of evolution. It's very important to recognize that evolution doesn't come just like overnight, that there's a period of chaos that has to precede this evolutionary leap, and we've already begun. It's going on right now.
Guess and, what? I think we all know that.
but what's interesting about this chaos is not an accident, and we see all these different crises, and we can focus like on the healthcare crisis, the global warming, the resource crises. There's just crises everywhere. They're all part of the same thing. And what's happening is there's an ending of civilization as we know it and the beginning of a new civilization. So we're in this transition period. And I mean, people, we can talk about in history, somebody can say, well, yeah, there's the fall of the Roman Empire or something. And then you think, well, it did at one point, obviously. Well, this is the fall of an empire. And it's interesting because it's really based on something much bigger than the crises that we're looking at. Basically, the first thing is, it says that the principles by which we've been living our lives, our belief systems, have been flawed to the extent that by continuing to follow the same belief systems, we end up destroying our own civilization. And so what's interesting is that there have been many civilizations in Western civilization. I give the four basic ones. There was something called animism as the first one. That was like the Native Americans or the Druids in Europe, where they lived in harmony with the planet, and everything was spiritual. The animals, the raindrops, they were spiritual. And then that civilization ended. We went into something called polytheism, which we're familiar with, like the Egyptians and Romans and the Greeks. Those civilizations fell and gave rise to monotheism, which was the Church of Rome was the foundation of it. So it's Judeo-Christian monotheism. And then even that civilization fell when science took over from the church, and that was when Charles Darwin gave us the theory of evolution, then science took over the civilization. And what's interesting is the beliefs that we live by, which are coming from the scientific world, which shape the way we behave on this planet, those fundamental beliefs have radically changed in the last 15 years to the extent that the beliefs that we are living by today are found to be really so flawed and actually dangerous that the beliefs that we are living by are creating the situation we're living by. And it, just in the nick of time, so to speak, new beliefs are coming in and say the old way of life is actually kind of toxic, and that new beliefs, a new way of seeing life, are coming in from the field of science right now. And that, by its definition, changes the civilization, because a civilization is based on a set of beliefs, and when the beliefs change, new civilization occurs. Well, the beliefs of the current civilization, the one we're living in, have been undermined by brand new scientific beliefs that will lead us to a much more thrival-oriented, healthy evolution than what we're doing right now. And the three fundamental beliefs that have changed very, very profoundly are, and I call them the myth perceptions of the apocalypse, the myths that we have followed, that if we continue following them, it's taking us to that apocalypse. There's three fundamental myths that are incorrect. One is the belief that the physical, material, tangible world is the primary world, and that matter is everything, you know, and all that matters is matter. So it's a kind of belief that looks at the human body and says, it's a machine, and it's made out of matter. If you want to know about life, just look at it as a machine, and you can adjust the chemistry and control it, that kind of belief. It's also the belief that says, how do you know if you're doing well in this planet? And the answer, how much matter do you own? It's basically the way we've looked at it. So the problem with this belief, it totally ignores the invisible realm. And quantum physics has come into the world 80 years ago, but it's now only coming into the world of human civilization. It was in the scientific realm, but it's coming in with a new belief. It says, you've been focusing on the material realm, but it's the invisible realm that is primary, and it shapes the material realm. And that invisible realm, as physicists, they call it the field. It just means energy. And what kind of energy is in it? Well, some of the most important energy for ourselves is the energy that comes from the mind. So it turns out where we believe the body was controlling itself, under the new science, which is really based in quantum mechanics, it says the mind is what controls the body. And that becomes important because we can change our minds.
That is the crux of it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it says those invisible forces are out there. There are things, in a sense, called spirit that's out there. They're shapers of the physical world. It's much like if you have iron filings and you sprinkle them on a table, the iron filings drop randomly all over the place. But if you put a magnet under the table and then sprinkle the iron filings form this beautiful pattern. And the issue is, up till recently, we don't recognize the invisible field, the magnet. So we study the pattern of iron filings, and we see this beautiful pattern. We think, oh, the pattern is built into the iron filing. So it's like the body. We look at the body, health or disease, and we say, oh, the pattern of the body must be built into the body. And it turns out, no, it's shaped by the field, the energy around us. And then all of a sudden, we've never looked at that. Well, we did when we called it spirit, because quantum physicists and spiritualists use the same definition to describe this energy. They call it an invisible moving force. And so it's like, oh, after a couple of thousand years, we're returning back to a belief that the invisible moving forces, whether you call it the field if you want to be a scientist, or call it spirit if you want to be a spiritualist, are recognized to be very important. And up to right now, this isn't really the belief of the world. The belief of the world is, oh, the body's a machine, and there's nothing more to it than that. It's like, okay, that's wrong. Belief number two, which is changing and changes who we are in this world, is the belief that genes control who we are. And that's still the everyday talk. It's in the newspapers all the time. A gene does this and a gene does that. And so why is that important? Because if you buy that genes control your life, and then you have to ask, well, where'd you get your genes from? Well, I got them from my mother and father. Did you pick these? No. They control your life? Yes. Can you change them if you don't like them? No. And all of a sudden you realize what we've been programmed to be. We're victims. We're victims of our heredity, because we have forces that control us that we didn't select. Genes are controlling us, and we didn't even pick them. So everybody says, oh, now, you know, I'm a victim of my genes. There's cancer running in my family, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, whatever. And we see ourselves as victims. That belief system, which has made us victims, is now found to be totally wrong. That it turns out that the mind, through a process, a new understanding, a new mechanism, which is referred to as epigenetics, it is the mind that shapes genetic behavior. And when we know that, then all of a sudden we realize, wait, that means if you change your mind, you change your biology, you change your genes, and the answer is yes. And all of a sudden it's like, well, then I'm not a victim, because I have the ability to change my mind. And so I'm a master. And it's like, that's the new vision. And yet, if you're programmed to believe you're a victim, and belief controls your life, and you believe you're a victim because that's your program, then guess what? You become a victim. If you're programmed to think that you're going to die at a certain age and you really believe that, that belief controls life, and therefore you will actually die at that age. And it turns out issues like cancer and cardiovascular disease are responses to belief systems that we got from other people. So these illnesses are not generally because the machine, the biology is weak or broken. It just means the programming has been bad. And by changing that, we get power back. And the third new belief that's come in to undermine the existing belief is a belief about the world as Darwin saw it, a world based on competition, where we're all involved or engaged in a struggle for survival, where we're all looking out to see if we can be the fittest so that we can survive this rat race. I mean, that's what we look at our planet as, a rat race. You've got to go out there and fight for your living. And so we have a belief of this great competition to survive, which in this competition can end up in war and all the other kinds of fighting that ends up on this planet. The new biology says that is the path to destruction, because evolution is now found to be based on cooperation. It's the complete opposite of what we've been living. So it says the principles by which we live in this world, that get the most matter you can, that your biology is just a chemical machine and you were here just by an accident of genetics, so enjoy the accident, have a good time. It says that there was no real purpose for us to be here because it was an accident. It says that the genes control us and then we're victims. It says that in order to succeed at life, you have to go out and fight every day. Thus, the principles of the world that we live in today are being replaced by a new understanding. And this is the principles of the world that we're moving into. And these principles are, there's an invisible world out there which includes your mind and spirit, which shape this planet. And by changing your mind, you can change the way you respond to this planet. that we didn't get here by accident. We're actually part of a balancing of the environment, that all living organisms operate in a cooperative thing called the ecosystem. It's only humans that are uncooperative in the ecosystem. All the other organisms are creating a harmony, which you would call the garden. And by us not being connected to this garden, then we left the garden. And now we're outside of the garden looking back in, and we've left it and disconnected ourselves from this garden, literally and figuratively in the Bible. It says, oh, you left the garden. And the fact was, well, we never left it. We're still in it. We just mentally disconnected from it and forgot that we were involved with providing harmony and balance. And so look what we've done to the environment. We're destroying the environment instead of what was the reason. The reason was to be here to bring harmony to the environment. So it's like, oh my goodness, what does this bode for the future? And it really says that we'll start having a population or civilization that realizes that success on this planet is not competition, but is having everybody work in harmony with each other, that we cooperatively share our awareness, become more intelligent, that we have the ability to change our biology and our behavior, and therefore we're not victims of our lives, we're actually masters of our lives, and that in all this beauty and harmony, we'll reseed and replant this garden. And that is a destination that is coming right in front of us as soon as we let go of the current beliefs, which are essentially totally self-destructive. And that's where we are right now.
Mm. Well, you said a mouthful. Boy.
I did. I said a lot of words right there, Carrielle.
Now, I'm not going to interrupt. I want to hear the rest of the myths. Are we done with the myths?
Well, those are the three fundamental myths. And okay. There's a fourth one, which also says that we bought a Darwinian theory idea that animals got here because of accidents of random mutations, so that that life is, evolution is just a whole series of accidents. And now we know that it's not a series of accidents, it's a series of actually events that have played out in history before. And if you understand the nature of how it played out before, then not only do you see where we are now, but you can see where we're going. And that's the most exciting part, because we are leveling the foundation of a civilization that is destructive so that we may build a foundation of a civilization that will sustain us and allow us to thrive into the future. So the upheaval that you see right now is actually a very positive sign, very hard for many people in the middle of it to see it that way right now, but it's a very positive sign, because it is the sign of breaking down a structure that has not been functional and giving an opportunity to rebuild a structure much, much more powerful and much more in harmony with the planet that will allow us to survive. So if people are afraid, that's because they're buying the fear that is being sold to them, when the new science and the new awareness suggests that rather than being afraid, they should be joyous. And, of course, it's very hard to say that if you're watching your 401k disappear every 10 minutes with money dropping out of the market. But the reality is we are going to a much better place.
Well, now I'm going to say something.
Please do.
I do believe people are needing to get beyond the fear at this point. We're at a juncture right now, and we get to choose. But it is difficult to see what's on the other side.
Yes, it is.
Many people think that we are really needing certain things to in order to survive, where there is really one of them being a monetary system, and which is based, unfortunately, on debt.
Yes, this is a problem, and
it's very corrupt, and it breeds corruption.
Absolutely.
And only profit, and it does not care about people.
And that's why it's ending, and that's why if you invest everything into that market, and you're thinking that it's going to recover in this regard, then it's like, you should be looking at it as you've just recognized that this economic system is not life-sustaining, and therefore is necessary for us, if we're going to stay alive, not to be using that again. So that's going to end.
Well, it requires scarcity and slavery, quite honestly. It requires wars. It requires, so therefore, it is so dysfunctional.
It's
not even, you know, at this point, I know that many people are getting it. They're really seeing the flaws of the system. I mean, we're being forced to see.
If you don't see it on your own, then the symptoms come back and wake you up to the issue. It's sort of like in a human body. If you don't pay attention that you're just, you know, not running your life correctly, not being a good master to all the cells in your body, your cells will respond with symptoms. And if you don't listen, ultimately the symptoms get louder and louder and louder until they can, you know, kill you or debilitate you. And so the point is we're waking up to the symptoms that it's very interesting because inside the human body there are 50 trillion cells. And every cell is the equivalent of a miniature human because it has its own life and has all the functions that we have. And so we're looking at a human body made out of 50 trillion cells. What's evolving right now is not the human. That already evolved. What's evolving is a higher superorganism called humanity. And we are the cells in that body called humanity. Well, we've been looking at each other as independent elements and fighting each other and all that. That's the equivalent of cells in a human body attacking each other. And that's actually what happens in the concept called autoimmune disease. You become self-destructive on the inside. Well, the planet is experiencing, in regard to humanity, an autoimmune disease because we're destroying humanity until we get the realization every human is part of the same body and that we have to learn to live in this beautiful harmony that can exist. And it's really interesting, Carol, because the question is, well, how do we get there? Where are we going? Where is the future this uncertain thing? And the fact is, if you follow our belief system that evolution is random, then you'd have to say, well, yeah, everything here is random. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the fact is, that evolution belief, that Darwinian belief is incorrect. And the truth is this, the answers for our civilization that we're looking for, the civilization that could learn to live in harmony and be peaceful and be as productive as anything can be, the answers are already here. There are civilizations with 50 trillion citizens where all the citizens have jobs. All the citizens get paid. All the citizens get health care. They get protection. They have all the benefits of this community. And they don't have a minimum wage. They end up actually getting a maximum wage where they can only earn so much, and then the excess goes back to the community. So the nature is, who is or what is this community that is thriving for 3 million years in total harmony, where at any time all 50 trillion citizens could be blissed out and frequently are? And I say, in the old adage, the answers lie within. That is the truth. Inside our body are 50 trillion cells. As I said, every cell is a single living entity. I used to isolate them, take them out and put them in a tissue culture dish and grow them and outside of the human body. You know what's interesting is that when, especially working with muscular dystrophy patients, that when I would take their stem cells out of the body, their stem cells grew better in the tissue culture than they grew in the individual's body. Now, what that really represented was the environment in that community of that unhealthy person. The internal environment was not supportive of the cells, and they did better when I took them out. Well, in our world, the environment we live in is unsupportive of us as cells to create this harmonious body, and this is why we're confronting these changes right now. So the fact is, do we want to know the rules on how to make the most successful civilization that exists? And the answer is, if you do, then you want to look inside at the body, because the body has an economy, it has a government, it has a social system, and a capital system, and it has all the rules for how 50 trillion individuals can live in total harmony and be productive and everybody working. And I love it because all cells, as I said, have jobs and health care and all this. And it's the true civilization where no cell is left behind. And that's an absolute truth. And so the fact is, this civilization has existed for 3 million years. All we have to see, how do they run an economy? How do they run a social system to stay in health? And how do they do this at the efficiency that they do without all that expense that we throw into the world and waste? Look at the cells. So the model for human civilization's future already exists, and it's really the citizens that live under your skin, because when you're happy and you feel good about life, then you must take that moment and realize underneath that skin of yours there are 50 trillion individual entities enjoying life just like you are right now, all of them. And that's like, wow. I mean, we can't get 6.5 billion people to figure it out. They got 50 trillion figured it out. So I think we should be open to a little wisdom from inside, because that's where the answers lie.
Well, so what is the basis of our health? Where does it come from? How do we get to that place?
Well, the basis of our health is that the system is already innately healthy. But people don't understand the nature I'm going to give you right now a simple fact. There's a small percentage of people that arrived on this planet with genetic difficulties called birth defects, and their lives are influenced because there's a defect in the machinery of life. Now, here's the issue. That's less than 5% of the population, far less. Well, that means 95% or more of the people on this planet got here with a completely adequate set of genes to have a healthy, happy, prosperous, loving existence. And the relevance is, then, if these people get sick, can we blame it on the genes and the machinery? And the answer is no. We have to recognize something that the old biology didn't offer, and that is the old biology said your life is controlled by the genes. The new biology says no, your mind controls the genes. And if your perceptions or beliefs are inaccurate or they're misperceptions, then your mind is misleading the population of 50 trillion cells. That's where our ill health and diseases come from. We now, for example, cardiovascular disease, the biggest killer in the sense of disease that we have in this country specifically. And it turns out doctors are never argued the point that over 90% of those cases it was lifestyle. It didn't have anything to do with their physical, biochemical, genetic nature. 90% or more says you didn't have to have this disease, but you chose this lifestyle, and that gives you the disease. They now found that in the same thing with cancer. 60% minimum, with probably up to 80 or 90%, is that cancer is lifestyle. Diabetes is not a defect in the system. It's a response to lifestyle, to environment. And so the issue is, we've been always blaming our health on bad chemistry, bad genes, bad things like that. And it turns out, oh my God, it's our lifestyle. And the issue is, will they teach us a better lifestyle? Do they, you know, offer us an insight into a better lifestyle, they being whoever's leading this situation? The answer is no. They're not going to teach you that. And the reason is, I love it, the movie Sicko with Michael Moore's movie. There was an excerpt in there from a British member of parliament by the name of Tony Benn, and he came right out and said it. He said, a government does not want a healthy, intelligent population because they're very difficult to govern. They actually prefer an unhealthy, unintelligent community because they have more control. And then you look at our world, especially here in this country, realize the biggest issues we have are the healthcare crisis, and unfortunately, we have become a lot less intelligent than we ever used to be. I mean, you consider some of the politics and stuff that we got, it's like, oh my God, we're not thinking anymore. And it's like, yep, they got you where they want you. Are they going to teach you how to be healthy? Nope, I doubt it very much.
Let me just quote for 1 second here.
Yeah.
Krishnamurti, who said, it is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profound sick society.
Oh, yes, and that is so accurate. You see, because remember, if the biology reflects the environment and you conform to that environment, then you are a physical manifestation of the disharmony in the environment in your own life. So you don't want to think the way that environment. You really want to get out of that one and think differently. And yet, we've been disempowered. We have been totally disempowered. And it's like so exciting because people think like, well, you know, human biology, we're kind of frail. You know, viruses and bacteria come and get us. You know, don't eat Twinkies because the sugar will kill you. And everybody's like, oh my God, we're so afraid. And it turns out, my goodness, you wouldn't understand how powerful we are. And I give in my lectures, I give examples. I say, look, I show pictures of people walking across hot coals with flames all around so they're not getting burned. I show news stories of women who lift up cars when there's an accident and their child or a baby or somebody is in the wreck and they need to get them out. They will lift up a car over 1,000 pounds. Not one person does this. I've got lots and lots of articles like this. And so that means just an average everyday woman could lift up a car. And then exciting ones, if you think how deep this is, people down south work themselves up in a religious ecstasy, some fundamentalists, and they testify that God protects them by playing with rattlesnakes and copperheads, poisonous vipers. And it's interesting because while handling these snakes and testifying that God protects them, when they get bitten, they have no effect of that. But the supreme one, the one that I really wanted to describe, is some of these people testify that God protects them by drinking strychnine in toxic doses and have no adverse effects. Now, all of a sudden, you have to stop and say, my God, you can walk across fire, you can lift up thousands of pounds, you can drink poison. What about that frail vision that we had? And it's like, that's a belief system. We're not frail. We're super powerful. But our beliefs that we've been programmed with have disempowered us, have made us weak. And these beliefs have been passed down for generation to generation. So we automatically buy into a world questioning of, gosh, I'm so weak in this world and so out of control because that's the programming we got. And yet, this is the programming that is encouraged. And in fact, I love it when I teach down in the Southern Hemisphere, when I'm teaching in New Zealand, in Australia. They talk about raising children. They talk about what's called cutting the tall poppies. And what they mean by that is when a farmer or sort of gardener plants poppies, they put all these seeds out, and all the poppies grow up about the same height. And then inevitably, some poppies shoot their heads up a foot or two above all the other poppies. Well, it doesn't look right in the garden, so what the gardener do? Lop off the head of the tall poppies. When they talk about that in regard to child raising, it's a behavior that is propagated for centuries, and that is, when a child shows exceptional abilities, the parents inevitably cut their head off, in a sense, you're just average, and bring them down. And so rather than encouraging our powers, we've lived through a civilization that would take away our powers. And I'll tell you a simple reason why, because here's the bottom line. Everyone is an equally powerful creator on this planet. You can create, and everyone can do this equally. And yet, if we're all equally powerful, then explain why there are so many powerful people out there that are really powerful, and there are people, so many people with absolutely no power. Where did those people with more power, where did they get that power? And here's the joke, Carol. This is just think about it. It's like, they didn't get any more power. They took away the power from the other people.
And they know how to hypnotize and manipulate. That's the thing.
Oof.
And I'm a hypnotherapist, so I have to say, in all honesty, when I do help people, I use it as therapy to take them out of the old program, the negative program, and replace it with the positive program.
Well, this is the most important job of this world right now, because as I said, we have been essentially, as a whole culture, a whole civilization, have been disempowered by beliefs that we acquire in the first 5 years of our lives, where the foundational beliefs that control our lives are programmed into our subconscious mind. It's interesting because a simple understanding comes like this. The mind controls our biology, both our behavior and our genetics and all the other characteristics. But then there's two parts of the mind. There's the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. The conscious mind is the one that's connected to our personal identity, our spirit, our source, whatever. It's the conscious mind. This is sort of the cool part. It's the conscious mind that holds our wishes and our desires and what we want from life. So, Carol, if I asked you, what do you want from life? And you told me, well, I want to have great relationships, I want to have great health, I want to have money. I said, oh, yeah, those beliefs are part of what we call the conscious mind. The subconscious mind just has programs in it, because it's the idea of learning things and make habits out of them so we don't have to relearn them, like how you tie your shoes or how you walk or how you drive the car. Once the pattern's in there, you don't have to think about it. It's automatic. Well, here comes the catch. Science has now revealed that, yes, we have the two minds, conscious and subconscious, and they shape the life we have. But it turns out the conscious mind only works about 5% of the time. And so that means 95% of our life comes from the programs that were, you know, lodged or programmed or downloaded into the subconscious mind.
True. Mm-hmm.
And then as your work so importantly is necessary, is that the fundamental programs that go into the conscious mind come from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden it says, your conscious mind says you want to be happy and healthy and have everything you're looking for over there. And the subconscious mind, which is programmed by other people, mainly our parents and family and community, that subconscious mind is the one with all the programs that says, who do you think you are? You know, or you're not lovable, and all these traits that we have been programmed with, and they're downloaded from other people. So then you wonder why is it so difficult for me to obtain the things I want in my life? And the answer is, because the things you want in your life are the programs in your conscious mind. They only work 5% of the time. 95% of the time, you're operating off the fundamental programs you got from other people. And rarely do those programs match what you want. So it says 95% of the time, your behavior is taking you away from where you want to go. And then, of course, there are people out there who say, but I would see that. And this is the joke part. And the joke part is, the subconscious programs are called also unconscious programs. We play them when we don't see them. And when I give a lecture, I always give a story such as, you know somebody, and you know your friend's parent. And at some point, you begin to realize that your friend displays the same behavior as their parent does. And so, you know, you casually volunteer one day, you know, Bill, you're just like your dad. And then the first thing is, Bill is going to vent like crazy. Like, how could you even make that comparison? And the joke is more than a joke because it's profound. And here's what the meaning is. Everyone else can see that Bill behaves like his dad, and he got those programs from his father, of course. It's only Bill who doesn't see it. And that's because they're in his unconscious or subconscious operating mind. So he doesn't see these problems. And what does all this generally come down to? Simple point. Your conscious mind really has all your wishes and desires in it. Works 5% of the day. 95% of the day, you're operating from the subconscious mind, and the fundamental programs of how to deal with life were actually downloaded from your family, especially your parents. And these are the programs that run 95% of the day. And the issue about that is that these programs, when they run, they're virtually invisible. So the net person is walking down the street, and he's looking at his life, and he's going, I can't understand it. These are all the things I want. And I'm not getting them. So the immediate stance somebody would have to take is, oh, man, I'm a victim. Because if I was really creating what I wanted, I'd have all these things. And yet, for some reason, they don't come to me. And the problem is, that's because you can't see the other 95% of the time where you're shooting yourself in the foot with programs that other people gave you to limit you. So it's like, oh, God, that's the problem.
Wow, and that is so vitally important to recognize and take responsibility for the world you've created.
That's very hard because, well, I used to end my lecture when explaining the nature of the new biology with a very obvious conclusion. You could see it. It's right there in black and white. It says, if you understand the nature of these mechanisms, then you understand you're really personally responsible for everything in your life. Well, boy, I would say that to an audience. You think that I had sworn at them or something. They get mad at me. It's like, well, you're getting mad at me. They wanted a different answer. And it was like, I mean, one woman actually came in one day crying at the end of the lecture with her husband saying, I can't buy these things happened in my life and I was involved with them. And she just straight out said, give me a different conclusion. And I was thinking, the conclusion is the conclusion. And I tried to think about it for a while. So she was upset because I said, you must become personally aware that you are responsible for everything that happens in your life, and so she couldn't buy that. So I tried to think of it, and I said, actually, I said, you're personally responsible for everything in your life. That was conclusive. Then I said, the new one, you are personally responsible for everything in your life once you become aware. Mm. That you are personally responsible for everything in your life. Because until that moment, you're operating in a void. You're operating with a belief system that says you're a victim, that things happened to you and you weren't participating. You're operating in a void because you don't see that 95% of what you're doing is invisible, and that most of that is programmed by other people. So you're in a void, and all you've been programmed with is things happen to you. So when someone tells you you're responsible in the world after they tell you things happen to you, of course that's a shock.
Well, the beauty of this, Bruce, and I love the way you rephrased it for the group and anyone who needs to hear it more delicately put. But the great thing about this is then you get control. Then you start seeing, oh, we've created a government here that reflects what we had as children, the mom and pop that we had when we were growing up, and that were abusive, and that were, or that were pretty much had abandoned us and ignorant of our plight.
And they were ignorant of it, because they were programmed exactly the same way. So
yeah,
they came into
it's
the
not
same
about blaming.
Story.
It's not about blaming anyone.
No, that's
but
what we have to
seeing,
let go of that.
By taking back our power, we can shift the whole thing that's happening on the world stage.
That is the trip. That's what we're on right now. This is what this evolution is all about. It says, wake up. You didn't know this, but you actually created this. Because if you do know it, then guess what? You have an option to create something totally different. And that's where the self-empowerment comes from. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when I talk to an audience, Carol, I say, look, we've been creating our lives, as I said, 95% of the time from the subconscious mind, other people's programs. And I said that the 5% that operates is your conscious behavior, and that's when you control it. And then I go back and I say, I'm going to tell you of a time, this is a guess, that every listener out there was a time in your life where you actually created the equivalent of heaven on earth, where you were energized. You were so excited about life, you couldn't wait to wake up, you couldn't wait to go to bed. You were just so excited about life, and everything worked, and life was beautiful at this moment. And what was important about this moment is that it was the first time in your life that you actually were almost fully operating from your conscious mind and not letting the subconscious mind run. And in that moment when you did run it with your conscious mind, it was heaven on earth. And so people say, well, when was that? And I say, the day you fell in love and began what was called the honeymoon. And what made the honeymoon so beautiful? Why was it in the honeymoon that no matter what happened the day before, no matter how bad the world was the day before it, when you met this person and fell in love, it's like now it's heaven. Now it's a glorious. Now you got all this energy and you're healthier than you've ever been. What's the difference? And the answer was, when you fall in love and you express this during the honeymoon, you don't let the subconscious programs run wild. You become very self-reflective, meaning you look at yourself. And the reason why you become more self-reflective is very simple. You met this person, and you want to sell yourself to this person. You want to say, look, we make such a wonderful couple because I got all these great traits. But to verify that you have the great traits, you become more self-reflexive. You be very careful about the things you say. You're very much looking in the mirror a lot more. I love it. You know, the one thing I tell people, I say, the day before you met this person, how long did it take you to get dressed and leave the house? You say, she said, about 10 minutes I was out of the house, and I didn't have to think about it because it was a habit to get dressed. No big problem. Then I say, you just met this person that you think is going to be the love of your life, and you're going to go on a date tonight. How long do you think it's going to take you to get dressed tonight? And all of a sudden, oh, well, that could be an hour or two. It's like, well, what's the difference? And today is like, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm making sure that everything is right. I'm being conscious of myself and not just, like yesterday, I got dressed and I was thinking about work or my paying the bills and I got my clothes on. I didn't even think about the clothes getting on. They just got on. And today, though, no, I'm making sure this is right. I go to dinner. Man, every rule of etiquette that I could ever remember is going to be flooding back at me because I'm going to make sure I'm watching myself. I'm not going to do like yesterday at McDonald's where I wiped out that burger and then just, you know, wiped my face with my sleeve and left the building. It's like, no, today, man, I'm going to talk without food in my mouth. I'm going to say all these wonderful things. So I'm going to think about them before I say them. I'm going to make sure that I express the right etiquette and I do all the right things. So I'm watching myself. Watching yourself is being self-conscious, using your conscious mind. When the honeymoon is in session, you're very conscious of yourself because you're selling this product, and you don't want to trust the tapes now, which is the subconscious mind. And so all of a sudden I say, so go back and tell me, how was life when you were being very self-conscious at that moment? The answer was, wow, it was fabulous. It's like, why'd the honeymoon end? And the answer is, because at some time, life gets really busy, and the job comes back, and paying the rent, and issues at work, or whatever it is, and they start getting on your mind, and your conscious mind starts thinking about things like, oh my God, the job, pay the bills. And the point is, when this is why the subconscious mind runs so much. When the conscious mind gets busy thinking about something, it is the job of the subconscious mind to do the rest of the control. So when you're thinking about something, you're behaving like a different person. Like if you're a male, generally you'll behave like your father behaved, or if you're a female, like your mother behaved, because those are the programs. But you didn't see it because your conscious mind was thinking. Then the subconscious mind ran the show. That's when the honeymoon is over. When your partner, who has seen the you that you wanted to be, that you were being self-conscious of, and you played out this life, and now they know you as this person. But then one day, your mind is wandering about something, and your love comes in and asks you a question, and you turn around and snap at them, and you didn't see it. That's the other problem, because it was automatic behavior, because your conscious mind was busy. Your mate looks at you like, who is this person I got involved with? Because there's another person now. And your job, Carrielle, is most important, is if you identify that you're playing this other person, it's your choice to go change that other person. Because if you do, what if you changed it into the beliefs that you have in your conscious mind? If your subconscious mind had the same beliefs that your conscious mind does, then you would lead yourself to whatever your conscious mind wants to take you to without you even thinking about it, because it would be automatic at that point. And yet the problem is, until you go back in and use something like hypnotherapy to change these beliefs, then you are stuck playing somebody else's program they recorded in your subconscious before you were 5 years of age.
Mm-hmm. Right. That really is in your control to change that. That's the beauty of the whole thing.
Well,
and
we did this, voluntarily.
You emphasize that this is a story of ascension to higher awareness in your book, and you do talk about and I want to just kind of briefly go into it about the fractal geometry and the integral membrane protein.
Yeah. That will scare some listeners, but we can probably
I know. Just abbreviate IMPs and how important they are to us as we are evolving, because it fits more onto the program somehow.
Well, the whole nature of how the biology works is that we came in with the belief that genes control who we are, so we're just like genetic automatons. There's your genetic program. The moment you're conceived, our belief system says, well, look at these genes. This will tell you about the unfolding of your life. That's the old belief system. The new one says, no, the genes are potentials, and you can alter and modify them by your experiences. So when we become aware of this, then the switches in the cell that respond to our thoughts actually lead to a rewriting of our genetic activity. And this is the new science of epigenetics. So, in computer lingo, what's interesting is the belief that we tell people is that cells are programmed by their genes, and so it's like a read-only program. You got these genes, you're going to get this trait. And now we find out it's not a read-only program. The genes in the cell, in the nucleus, is like a hard disk, but it's like a read-write program. So it says, oh, these are the genes that you have, and you could read them the way they are, or you can rewrite them. And that's the difference. If it's just a read-only, then the genes determine who you are. If it's read-write, it says, well, you got these genes, and you can change it to fit the way you like it, so we can adapt and adopt new biology, new behavior, and new genetic activity. Then we become masters. We're ascending at that point. We're not a victim, but we are creating, and the nature of our world is co-creation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love the computer analogy. I think that fits so beautifully.
It actually, it's funny, because in the book I really try to emphasize it. It's called a homology, which is different than an analogy, because it's profoundly different. It goes like this. Analogy is, well, consider your body as like a vehicle. Well, I can make that connection, but they're not really the same. A homology is, consider your cell as like a programmable chip. And what's different about this is your cell is a programmable chip. And so a homology means exactly the same as. And the truth is this. The human body is made out of 50 trillion cells. Each is a programmable chip in this regard. The mind is the programmer. The mind can change the genetic readout and behavior of the system by the signals it sends. And then we go back to, now we're back in the tape loop that says, yeah, but if you're sending somebody else's signals, then you're creating somebody else's life. And people, just so that I can bring it up because it just hit me and I thought, I better say this. Because a lot of people talk about positive thinking, and there's mixed results on positive thinking. And actually, I think most people are frustrated because they try positive thinking, it doesn't work. And then I have to stop and say a second, positive thinking is creative thinking, which is the conscious mind domain. The subconscious mind doesn't do that. So when you're doing positive thinking, you're using the subconscious mind. Then I go back and say, well, if you understand that, that mind only works 5% of the day. Then you can see, well, that might be a difficulty in trying to get your positive thoughts to manifest. They're only working 5% of the day, and that is where most people's problems are. The people who do generally have a very positive effect with a positive thought find out that their subconscious mind already had programs to support their positive thought. Mm-hmm. So they're just making the intention with their conscious mind, the subconscious saying, okay, I got that program. Most of us make the intention with our conscious mind of a positive thought, only to find that our subconscious does not have any programs to support that positive thought.
It's a foreign language.
And it's foreign language, doesn't work, and then frustration is the result.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully put. That's very profound.
Well, it is, because it simplifies it in our world, and if I try to get into the nature of all the chemistry, like, you know, we can talk medical talk, because everyone thinks, well, that's really scientific, but medical talk is... it's just simple talk that you make complicated so people think it's, wow, those medical people really know something. It's like, well, you could actually put it in simple talk and anybody can understand it.
Well, you made it practical. you brought, you know, again, this whole idea of our bodies and how they work. And they really are for our survival and thrival.
Thrival. And it's really interesting because I never believed, like, in the spirituality. And that's when I got into the biomedical sciences, because I was following that path of science that says the human body is a chemical machine controlled by genes. You understand how it works and all that. And what was really interesting was, through my research, I found out that we each do have an individual spiritual kind of equivalent in the environment, something that is being like a television broadcast, that these receptors or antennas on our cells pick up a station. And each human has a separate or different set of antennas. So each human is like receiving a different broadcast. And the significance about that, when I started to realize, I said, oh, my God, my identity is like a broadcast coming in over these antennas into my cells. And so my body is like a television playing a station. And at some point I realized, wait a second, I said, wait, I have a spiritual existence, which is the broadcast. So it's like the television show. You say, where's the television show? It's not really in the television. The television show is the invisible stuff that's being picked up by the antenna and turned into physical picture on the screen. Well, our lives are the invisible broadcast turned into physical reality inside of our bodies. And it was fun because when I first realized that, well, wait, I have a spiritual existence and I have a physical existence. And being curious, of course, was the question of why have both? And then the answer came, and it was so profound, it just shocked me. It was quite amusing, but it was it was like, oh, I got it. And the answer was this. I asked myself, well, why have both? And my cells, I presume, my cells, 50 trillion cells, in chorus responded, well, Bruce, if you're just a spirit, what does chocolate taste like? You know, or Bruce, if you're just a spirit, what does a sunset look like? Or what does being in love feel like? And I realized, oh, these sensations, these things that we pick up with our eyes, ears, nose, taste, touch, and all the emotions that we can sense in our body come from the chemistry of the cells in the body. They're not part of our spiritual existence. But if we step into the body, then the spirit can sense this. It's like a virtual reality machine for a spirit. You jump into the body, and it's like, oh, I can see, I can smell, I can taste. And then you come on this planet and you create. it's like, oh, the whole purpose was to land on this planet and create and sense and experience and taste and touch. And the whole idea was we had the opportunity to create heaven. What we created wasn't heaven. We created other people's programs, and we got misled. Because in truth, we came here to be in a garden where we could create and experience and enjoy life and be sensitive and just take all this in. And now we find ourselves shutting ourselves down, not being sensitive, trying to conserve our lives by putting a wall between us and the environment and curtailing our experiences of life. And then when you think about it, it's like, ooh, that's the wrong direction. The whole direction was to go out there and have the experiences, and now we're so protecting ourselves. We're like in shells, and the whole purpose and meaning of our existence has gotten lost in that.
Wow, and I think you've awakened a lot of people today, and I appreciate your knowledge and your wisdom.
Well, Carol, I so appreciate the opportunity that you give me to talk about it. I also appreciate the reality that while I can talk about this on the air, you actually do the work. So I appreciate what you're doing, because this is what people have to do. It's time to recognize we've been programmed, unfortunately misprogrammed, and we lost our purpose and our direction and our powers. And all of them exist when we're ready to go back into those programs that limit us and say, I can rewrite these things, and I can create programs that give me what I want. And this is this is our future, and this is the evolution, the end of a civilization of imprisonment, and the expression of a civilization where all of us can go out and create heaven. And if you think about it, when I talk to audiences, I always say this: I think we're all creators, and I'll be honest. I trust the creation of the audience more than I trust the creation of the government or the people that control it, because they've been manipulating us.
Yeah.
And yet the mass of population out there would just be in love if they get given the opportunity.
Yeah, and we get to choose. Thank you so much, Dr. Bruce Lipton. You've been listening to, and this is Carrie L's Heartlink Show. Thank you, Bruce. I want you back.
Oh, I'd just love to, because we're going through this evolution, so maybe we should come back and check in and see how people are doing.
Yeah. It's like I feel like you've given them a reason to be inspired today. Really.
And they should, because I've been doing it for a while, and simply the truth is, it is heaven on earth when you get rid of those limiting things. Right.
Well, and I want to thank BBS Radio for allowing us to have shows like this that expand our consciousness. And listen next time when I have Dr. Don Beck, who is the co-author of Spiral Dynamics. So I'm really interested in that. And please do go to my website, heartlinkinstitute.com, and go to, is it brucelipton.com?
Yeah, that's so simple.
Yeah.
Lots of things that we're talking about, free downloads. You get all the information, articles, right from there, free.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. I'm so glad we've been able to connect and broaden our horizons towards more freedom, light, and love. Have a great day.